Good evening.
Really happy to be able to talk to you tonight. I don't see any visitors that don't know me, but my name is Justin, and I'm happy to bring a portion of God's Word to you tonight. Thursday. The college I work for, they send out an email saying that they were going to close the Lake Isabella campus for the rest of the day because of fire. My very first thought was, those lucky guys, they get to go home early, they don't have to work the full day. I just didn't comprehend how bad it was. But by the time I got home, the first of the houses were actually starting to burn over in KRV. You know, we sometimes live in a state of denial. We go to our work, we do our jobs, we earn our paychecks, we pay our rent, we pay our mortgage, we buy our food, and we do these things, we feel in control of our lives. And then we repeat the process over and over, day after day, and we become comfortable. So we buy houses, we buy cars, we buy RVs, we buy our boats. We start depending on ourselves, because after all, we have built our lives. But we forget that life is not these things. Life is way more important than these things. Lori and I watched a live Facebook feed on Thursday night. It was from the Kern County Fire Department Information Officer. He was driving around the Squirrel Valley area, and he was assessing the damage, and he was trying to get people to evacuate. He stopped a guy that was kind of disoriented. He kind of didn't look right. He didn't look like he knew what he was doing, really. And he asked him, hey, are you going to evacuate? Are you going to come with me? He tried to get the guy in his car. But the guy shut down and said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm going to take care of my property. And he just walked the other direction, didn't acknowledge the guy any longer, just walked the other direction towards his property. You know, a little while later, the same officer was driving around, and he came across a couple ladies standing in their yard, just kind of dazed, looking at what was going on around them. These ladies were a little further away, so they weren't right next to the fire this time, but they still had a dazed look on their face. The officer asked him if they were ready to go, if they had to, and they said, yeah, if we have to, but we're not going to go right now. We're going to stay for now. We're going to try to make it. You could see the desperation and helplessness on these people's faces. They were watching their homes, they were watching their friends' homes, they were watching their families' homes, they were watching them be destroyed. You know, we say that our lives are more important than our things, but when those things are being destroyed, it doesn't feel like it. We feel helpless, we feel like our life is over. I know that many of us have friends over in that area. And I know that over the past couple of days, you have felt that same sense of dread, that same sense of worry that has come over everyone. You know, if the world is burning down around you, who wouldn't worry about their home? Who wouldn't worry about their family? It all just makes us feel helpless. In Matthew 9, starting in verse 35, it says, and Jesus went through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the labor are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Jesus was going all over the place, teaching people, healing people that were sick, healing people that were afflicted. But when he looked back at those people, he saw a helpless and harassed people. He saw a people that did not have a direction. He saw a people in need of a shepherd. You know, when tragedies happen, we realize how vulnerable we actually are. We see that our routine life can be taken away in an instant. Through no fault of our own, it can be taken away. Without a shepherd, we are helpless sheep. You know, everyone feels helpless in tragedy. It doesn't matter if you are the man standing on your roof with a hose praying that your roof does not catch on fire. It doesn't matter if you are a firefighter driving around a neighborhood trying and failing to get people to evacuate. Or if you're waiting to hear from your family or your friends that just haven't been able to contact you because they're out of cell phone service. We all feel helpless sometimes. Psalms 23. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord." The Lord doesn't only lead us in times of plenty. He leads us all the time. He leads us through the valley of shadow of death. He is there with us. We need not fear any evil. We feel helpless, but we are Christians. We are the most powerful people on this planet. We serve a risen Savior. You know, Peter, Paul, the apostles, the disciples, they were all given powers. They could heal the sick, they could speak tongues, they could prophesy. You know, we don't have those things. But according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, we have a more excellent way. We have faith, we have hope, we have love. You know, the Christian can sing while in prison. The Christian can take a beating and turn the other cheek. The Christian can look the lion in the eye while the crowd around him is cheering for his death. He can do this because he knows there is something better. He can do this because he has direction. And God directs our lives. He gives us hope in something other than this material world. Look at John 10. John 10, starting in verse 7, it says, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly.'" What exactly is abundant life? To answer this, we only need to look at what Christ taught. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34, says, "But the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, and they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets.'" This is what Christ taught throughout his ministry. In Luke 12, 15, Jesus tells us that our lives are not about our possessions. In 12:21, he goes on to say that we need to be rich towards God. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus says that our life is more than food and our body is more than clothing. And then in verse 33 of the same chapter, he tells us to seek after the kingdom of God. We see Christ's love for his neighbor when he sees the man at Bethsaida and he heals him of his afflictions. We see his love for his neighbors when he feeds the 5,000. We hear his love and his teachings about the Good Samaritan. In 1 John 4:20, it says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. Or he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." That's what abundant life is. It's loving your God. It's loving your brother. As a Christian, we can suffer from that same pattern that I talked about earlier. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we get paid, we buy things, we go to church, we listen to sermons. And then the process repeats over and over. We work, we buy stuff, we listen to sermons. But why do we listen to those sermons every week? 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James Version says, "To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When we quote this verse, we often stop with "study to show thyself approved," leading us to believe that study is what makes us approved. But this is not the case. It's not the whole story there. It's the workman that is approved. It's the workman that needs not be ashamed. You know, Christianity is not a theoretical religion. It's a religion of action. We're not going to be judged by how much we know, but how we use the knowledge that we've been given. In Matthew 25, this is a long reading, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Starting in verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and come to you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of my brothers, you did to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Those that apply what they learn from Christ, those that help their neighbor, will be saved. Those that do not will not be saved. I'm not saying that we earn salvation by these things. I'm saying that we have a shepherd, and he has given us a direction. He has given us a purpose. If we do not fulfill that purpose, what use are we? When Jesus looked around in Matthew 9, he saw people without a direction. He saw a lost sheep. What did he tell his disciples to do? He told them to pray for more workers. Workers that will help the harassed and helpless find direction. Workers that could bring people to him. Workers that could make more workers for him. Christians that can change the world. We have a shepherd. We have a direction. We have purpose. God wants us to live this life not like it's some kind of broken record. He wants us to love him. He wants us to love and serve the people around us. And he wants us to bring more people to him. When that firefighter in the Facebook video was trying to get that man to safety, the man just wanted to save his house. He went blank, turned away, filled with worry, and ran the opposite direction. He had to save what he could. And I understand this feeling. A lot of us struggle on our own. A lot of us try to make ourselves right. But that's not the way to the safety. The way to safety for this guy was to go with a guy that was sitting in his car saying, "Get in the car, come with me, I will take you to safety." In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that is not in the man who walks to direct his steps." If your life has been stuck in this illusion of safety, if you have been in that pattern of work, buy stuff, go to church, work, buy stuff, go to church, work, buy stuff, go to church, now is the time to break that cycle and focus on what it really means to have an abundant life. We have to make sure that we are loving God and loving our neighbors. Let's do something with this Christian life that we have. If you're not a Christian, disaster is around the corner. It's just waiting for the wind to shift. So now is the time to make ready. So if you need the prayers of the church, or if you would like to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.